Today we're going to talk about crossing the Jordan. I had this whole series of moving forward since January, and we're in lesson number 7, Joshua chapter 3, 1 through 17. We're going to get the victory. How many could use a victory today? Here's the point, that everybody today is going through something. All of us have to cross over something. But it's good news, because if you're in Christ, how many know you're a new creation? You're an overcomer. How many know God has the best plan for you if you're in the kingdom? He's got good plans for you, Jeremiah says. Not plans to harm you or do evil against you, but to bless you and give you his wonderful, bright future. And so I want to turn to the Word of God. I love it. I can't wait to preach it. It is the crossing of the Jordan. I found this photo. So we remember after last Sunday, we talked about the glory of the Lord, the cloud that led the Israelites all through the wilderness journey, right? 40 years in fire by night and a cloud by day. It was the Shekinah glory. It was a theophany, which is a manifestation of God in the Old Testament. God cannot be seen. God is spirit. Therefore, he manifests himself for the people can visibly see that the Lord was in their midst. And he was in the cloud. Remember that message? Lesson 2, in the cloud, follow the cloud. Well, now that Moses died, Joshua's taking the lead. And God's going to set up precedent in another leader. It's a new day. The people that were wondering, without faith, without obedience, without belief in the trusting Yahweh God, did not make it into the promised land. In Kadesh Barnea, they sat there. They didn't believe the report of the Lord from the 12 spies. 2 had a good report. 10 had a bad report. They believed the bad report. How many know there's a lot of people in the kingdom of God that just have that kind of spirit? But there are a couple. How many know that 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal? There's still a couple of people in the house of the Lord here at Oak Grove that says, I have a Caleb spirit. I have a Joshua kind of spirit. There is, I believe, God raising up a Joshua generation. I'm thankful that Izzy got baptized today. Come on, church. There's a generation God's raising up. He's raising them up. So the other generation died out. 20 and over, they died out. 20 and under, they went in, besides Caleb and Joshua. Wow. Wow. A whole generation rose, we find out, that did not know God nor the things of God. They didn't pass along to the next generation the truth of who God really was. And our God showed out. Didn't he show out in the wilderness? I mean, how much manna does he need to plop before your tent door before you believe? What is it, 26,000 tons of manna every day? To 2 million Jews? And how many Jews can cross the Red Sea? 2 million. And how many soldiers of Pharaoh's army can be destroyed? All of them. And the chariots and the horses, anything that didn't honor and give glory to God was destroyed in the Red Sea. And it became a memorial that Israel held on to. Not only did he take them out of Egypt, but he brought them through the Red Sea. Sign of a type of baptism almost. Amen? I mean, after you get saved, you ought to get baptized. It's a statement of faith. I'm going to follow God even if I have to go through the Red Sea. Good days, bad days, mediocre days. Not every day. I said, not every day. Everybody feels like writing home about. So in our study so far, we discovered that God has a plan. I love God's plan, don't you? He has a plan. He's got a purpose. He's taking them through. And yet they whined and they griped and complained and they wanted to go back to Egypt and eat leeks and onions. And all the while he had everything they needed, water from a rock. I mean, no, that's supernatural, miraculous stuff. What does God have to do to get your attention? He wants you to believe him. He wants you to have faith. And yet they did not. Therefore, they did not enter in, but some did. The next generation did. Anybody here glad that God believes in the next gen? I am for sure. I'm glad I got kids. I got grandkids. Hey, hey. If I got another 40 years, praise God. when I got saved was almost 45 years ago, like Caleb. 45 years ago, God gave me a promise. I mean, no, he still keeps his promise. And Caleb said, give me that mountain. Give me, take me where the giants are. I want that giant Anakim. I'm going to get him myself personally. Like David saying to Goliath, I'll cut your head off and feed it to the bird. So Pastor, that's a little grotesque. How many know you got to get some grit in your soul if you're going to follow God? I mean, this is not for wimps. We're in a war. This is warfare. We're about to take over the Jordan in the harvest season. This is the same time that God brought us to this place at this time. And you still got 2 million or, however many left. For 40 years, they still kept multiplying. Are y'all with me? There's a whole lot of Jews. There's a whole lot of people there. And they're camped on the Jordan River. Tents everywhere. I want you to get the scene. And God speaks to Joshua, just like he spoke to Moses. Aren't you glad God speaks? How many know God still speaks? He spoke to Joshua. He said, send the 2 spies, not 12. We learned a lesson or two. Too many opinions can cause some troubles. And the people's hearts melted because of the 10 spies. But Caleb, he calmed the bunch down and said, hey, let's trust God. Let's believe God. And now him and Joshua are ready. They're on the banks of the River Jordan. God speaks and God has a plan. Are you ready to find out what he wants us to do? So we look forward to God's plan most of the time. We get excited about it, but many times we're excited about the plan, but we fail to realize that every plan also has a process. Somebody shout process. We love the plan. We hate the process. We love to enter the promised land, but we don't want to cross the Jordan or we don't want to face Jericho. It's a process. We're not there. We're on our way. We're moving forward. So the word process indicates a moving forward to something, towards something. At weddings and graduations, it's called a procession. The bride has a procession, right? And there's some people moving into something, moving. And this is the process. God is moving us into something. There's always a process. And so we watched Israel come out. We watched the Israelites go into the promised land, but God had a plan here. 40-year delay, but here we are on the banks of the Jordan. So that's the little setup. I'm glad to say it for you and get you the picture. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Can you see all the tents along the Jordan? I'm like, that's a lot of tents. 12 tribes, all of them scattered on the other side of the Jordan. And after 3 days, the officers went through the camp. I want to stop there. Officers. How many know one leader, Joshua, can't speak to 2 million? There's a lot of tents to give the information and the plan to. So here's a good leader. He dispatches officers. How many know the church needs people to rise up? How many know we need leaders in the house of the Lord, in the church of God, in the camp? And so Joshua says, hey, y'all, I got to tell them this. This is what the Lord told me. Go tell them. And so these officers go out in 3 days. It takes them a long time to give them the plan. So they're all, after 3 days, getting the word, giving orders to the people. And this is it. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out. Somebody shout, move out. Move out from your positions and follow the Lord. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits or 1,000 yards between you and the ark. And do not go near it. How many think that's a pretty important piece of information? And if you don't think so, just try to touch it and see what happens. Curiosity surely will kill this cat. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. This is the eve before. Tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. How many believe God's about ready to do some amazing things here and in your life and in your future? Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel. Don't mistake that. This is not self-exaltation. This is not glory in the flesh or glorifying man. But how many know when God wants to do something big, he always uses people. When Satan wants to hurt you, he uses people. When God wants to bless you, he uses people. How many know people are the instruments in the hands of an awesome God? And Joshua is now the new leader. And God wants to set precedent. They really believe Moses. But this is the new guy on the block. And they need to set precedent. So he said, I'm going to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Hey, so verse 8, tell the priest, Joshua, tell him this. This is my plan. Carry the Ark of the Covenant. And when you go reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. What? Go and stand in the river. Yeah, we'll talk about the river because this seems really easy right here, but you don't know what the river looks like unless you read it. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here, come close, and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And then he's going to reiterate it again. In the church I've led long enough to know, say it and say it again. Give them the announcement and then put it on paper. Mail it to their house and tell it to their children. Put it on their forehead and in their Bible. Put it in their bathroom and in their kitchen. Tell them and tell them again. Because God's people forget easy. This is how you know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. That's what he's telling the people. See this. This is the plan. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel. Now this is their chance, folks. They chose 12 men last time. So if we're doing a contrast between Red Sea coming over and then coming to spy out the land with the 12 spies. Here is 40 years later, a new crop, a next gen, and they have the same chance to trust God and believe God as the generation preceding them. Let's see what happens. Choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord, and he adds this. Don't you love the Word of God? Does anybody here love the Word of God? I hope when you read the Bible, you don't pass up little phrases like the Lord of all the earth. It's an emphasis. How many know you got to put the emphasis on the right syllable? It's an emphasis. He's not just the Lord. He's the Lord of all the earth. He's in control of the raging waters of the Jordan. He has a sovereignty and control and authority over the Red Sea. He's in control of your future. He's in control of Jericho and your enemies. He's the Lord of all the earth. And soon as the priests who carry the ark set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. It never happened yet. He already said it. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them, just as Joshua told him to. Now the Jordan is at flood stage. I think it's important in this narrative story that you get the details. Hey, it's at flood stage all during harvest. Other times the Jordan may not be at flood stage, possibly crossable. I don't know about with 2 million Jews, but right now it's at flood stage. Raging waters of the Jordan. What I'm saying is it's impassable, but it's not impossible. Come on now, you need to tweet that. Do they still tweet or is that gone? It's X now. Don't X it out. Do something with it though. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, just touched the edge of the water, they didn't even get in. The water from upstream stopped flowing, and it piled up in a heap a great distance away. Some scholars say 20 miles away to a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, from top to bottom was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Hallelujah. This is so good, it makes me want to shout. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle. Listen, these leaders weren't done yet. They put their feet in the water. The water stopped. They got to the middle of the Jordan where he told them to go, and they stood still in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. And they watched while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. Whew. It's a time, first of all, of preparation. Just real quickly, if you're going to conquer your Jordan, if you're going to conquer what's in front of you, and sometimes it's filled with obstacles, rivers and seas and walls and enemies. Every day is not a good day. Sometimes you come against stuff that is along the way that you need to pray about. Come on now. But this process is a filtering screen. I mean, God sometimes puts obstacles to see if you have what it takes to be an overcomer. He wants you to know that he is with you and he will bring you through if you obey the instructions. So the first order of business before you cross is going to be preparation. And he says, sanctify yourselves. Go ahead. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things, amazing things, amazing things. But it's conditional. He's saying, Joshua's saying, a miracle's coming. All you got to do is get on your face before God and pray. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your heart right. Check your attitude. Take care of your attitude. You're not going to cross over, because what you're going to cross over today, you're going to face something even worse tomorrow. And if you can't cross the Jordan, you're never going to be able to take Jericho. You got to prepare yourself if you're going to move into God's plan for your future. He has a plan. Come on now, how many still believe he has a plan? And so he says, prepare yourself. It's a screening process, a new day, a new generation, a new chance to believe. And I hope that you pick up on the lesson so far throughout this series. So far, we're not always fruitful through the seasons of life. There are seasons. It's a process. I said, we're on a journey. It takes some time. These people have never walked this way before. They were children during the wilderness journey. They didn't see what their parents and all saw, or maybe they did, but they couldn't comprehend the Red Sea crossing, or maybe they were just infants. And now, 40 years later, still some infants. And we got a raging river that's impassable. It's impassable, but it's not impossible. And there's no way they can build a bridge. They didn't bring some supplies and cement to build a bridge. It's 150 miles long, and at harvest time, the flood is a mile wide, 12 feet deep, and 2 million Jews. This is not a piece of cake. No walk in the park. The two spies that went in earlier. And by the way, didn't you see and love last week? God's providentiality, how he already had somebody in Jericho on the wall. I mean, no, God has a plan. This is not just unfolding. Oh, God's marveling at it. It just so happened to be Rahab hid the spies. Wow, I never could have guessed it, God said. I mean, no, God had a plan for Rahab to be ready when the spies got there. So it was all under the powerful, mighty, sovereign hand of God. It's all in the plan. Now all we're doing is walking in faith through the process. Are you with me? So at winter time, we're not always fruitful. Right now, I can't wait for spring. How about you? Right now, we're in winter. In the winter time, the sap in the trees goes underneath to the roots. Even the sap is smart enough to get out of the cold. And it looks like the tree is dead, but the tree is not dead. I wish somebody would help me out here. just because it's winter season doesn't mean the tree is dead. It's part of the process. It goes underground, and then spring comes. The sap starts warming up, coming out, goes to the branch, and produces fruit. There's seasons for fruitfulness, but every season is for faithfulness. Being faithful, even in the winter season, undergoing what God has for you in the future. What happens? The tree simply outlives the winter season. You see, the last generation didn't outlive the winter. They didn't make it through the wilderness. They got bitter. They couldn't appreciate it. God's getting water out of rocks, feeding manna by the tons to millions. Are you hearing me? He's making sour water, nasty, bitter water sweet. He's bringing quail by the east wind up to their neck. You want quail? I'll give you quail. That's how I know I'm not God. I would have made them vomit. I would have had them eating quail till they died. God gave them everything, but it was never enough. Can I tell you today, whatever you're facing in this season, your winter is soon going to pass. Can somebody say amen to that? Your winter is going to soon pass. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever obstacle, whatever you need to cross, whatever you need to deal with, whatever walls need to come down, you're only in a transitional place on your way to a purpose-filled place. God has this process he's bringing you through. Are you getting this yet? So today, wherever you are, you can outlive your situation by faith. So what are you facing? It's transitional. Here today and gone tomorrow. You can be an overcomer. You can cross over. And the Jordan is a season, is by all means a natural, uncrossable situation. No way. No way. The river is too wide and too deep and too rough. Can't get over it. You can't go around it. It's blocked in every way. It's impassable, but it's not impossible. And this is not the good time to cross. I mean, I think about it. When I read the Bible, I'm thinking, Lord, couldn't you brought them in another season? But how many know sovereign God knows when to bring you, in what season, in what time, in what place? If you're in transition, no, you have to be in tune with the voice of the Lord. You have to listen to his instructions. You have to prepare your heart. You have to pray. You have to read. You have to listen. You have to know. You have to know that wherever he goes, how many decided wherever he leads you, you will follow? So you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to go through the Red Sea. You're going to follow the Lord, it's not going to stop the Israelites of the Egyptians from chasing you. You just got to get through the other side. And then watch the victory. So there's preconditions. Everybody wants a miracle, but they don't want the process. There's always a precondition to the miracle. Tell the priest, Joshua said, to get themselves in the right position. The position of priority and prayer and presence. This is the position. The priests go first. The priests. He said of the Levites, I am their inheritance. Everybody else in every other tribe, they get a piece of the land when you get into the land. But to the priests, I am their inheritance. They will work with me. I will utilize them for my kingdom, to serve my people. What a privilege. Hey, if you're called of God today, it's a privilege. If you're serving the Lord today, it's a privilege. Let me say it this way. If you're in the church today, you are the priesthood of the believer. If you're born again, how many know you are his servant? It's a privilege to lead the church, to listen to his instructions, prepare your heart, and go forward. And they grabbed that ark. Remember, as we started out, I told you, the glory cloud was over the Israelites as they walk. Now, transition has happened. Where's the glory cloud now? It's over that Ark of the Covenant. That's very important, very specific. When they built the tabernacle, they had all the measurements and all the diameter and everything. It was a tent, a nomadic people with a tent, a dwelling for God. Because wherever God stopped, that's where they stopped. That's where they camped. And they camped all around the tabernacle. 12 tribes, tents everywhere. Now they're on the move. God says, time to move. So they get up and they move. And now God's saying, time to move. You got to move across this water. I'm not sure your personality and your spirit or what you would say in your house, in your tent. But by chance, you are a mother with a little baby. Or maybe your parents are old, feeble and weak. You're in your tent the night before we go across. And you might say something like, Joshua is out of his mind. Does he not see that these people are weak? Does he not know I'm not about to take my two-month-old and put him in a whatever and cross a river? How deep is it? How cold is it? How rough is it? All valid questions. But nothing happens until you put your foot in the water. I mean, it takes faith to follow God. Nothing happened. Nothing happened to the priest. Nothing happened to nobody until obedience came. So the first step is preparation and sanctification, right? Listen to the instructions from the officers, spiritual instructions, just practical instructions. Stay 1,000 yards back so you can see, so you can see. When you see them get in the water and they're in the middle, then you move. Very specific instructions. How many know God is a very specific, detailed God? Many people think he's not, but they don't listen long enough to hear the detail. Or if they get the details, they don't want to follow through with the process. And people die in their dilemma because they don't have faith or wisdom. So God is giving instructions from Joshua to the leaders. He affirms Joshua as the leader. This day I will raise you up in the eyes of the people so that just as they will know, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. You're the new Moses, buddy. You're the new Moses. Lead them. Moses spoke to God face to face. You see, God doesn't marvel. He's not astonished by a lot of stuff. He's not astonished by a bush that is on fire that doesn't consume. Moses was. We are. He's not astonished at a Red Sea that would just kind of congeal. And you put your finger in it, it's like jello. And millions of Jews are walking across on dry ground. How many know that's a big deal? I said they still talk about it 4,000 years later. How many know the Red Sea was a big deal? And here they are about to encounter the same thing. God gives another generation another opportunity to trust him through the crossing of the Jordan. He always gives you a choice. He always gives you a plan. He always gives the instructions. And they're from the Lord. And he passes it out to the people. And then the second step after you prepare your heart, your eyes on the Lord and the leader, keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. How many times in this text does it say Ark of the Covenant? Because that's where the glory of God is. It's where the presence of God is. What else is in the Ark? Three things contained in the Ark. The Word of God, Ten Commandments. Come on, you still with me? Ten Commandments are in the Ark. So the Word of God. Hey, you can go with the Word of God. You can trust His Word. It's in the Ark. Aaron's budding rod, the rod that budded. He said, all 12, get 12 tribe leaders, all 12 men, give them a little staff, a stick, and the one that bears, you know, buds and bears some fruit, that's the one that's going to lead the priest. Aaron, they put that in the Ark. And then a pot of manna. God's protection, God's provision. I mean, it's all there. but most importantly, God's presence. His presence. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake. He said it again this morning. I mean, no, he's still the same God today. You can trust God this morning. No matter what you're facing, what you need to cross, we're not just, you know, denying that there's problems. We got to know there are problems. We all face. We're not naive. It's an obstacle. But we don't pick the season. We don't pick the time. We don't pick the place to cross over. God does. All we do is walk in faith. God picked the season. He picked the process. He picked the plan. He picked the people. So God has a journey he's got us on. I want you to understand, when they crossed the Jordan, they got another big task ahead. We'll deal with that next week. It's Jericho. He's going to annihilate the Canaanites. Hey, listen to me. God is not some sadomasochist who's trying to kill people that need to be destroyed. These Canaanites were vile, wicked, baby, killing their own baby people. Worshippers of Baal. Are y'all hearing me? And Molech. For years and years and years, he's gave them all kind of opportunities. The other seven nations around Israel. But they refused to honor God. But now, before in the wilderness, the people's hearts were melting with fear. That's why they didn't go in. But today, the people in Jericho's hearts are melting in fear. Why? Because they heard about the God of Israel. They heard what happened in the Red Sea and how they took the kings, Sihon and Og. They heard all of that, and their hearts are filled with fear. How many know that's the place you want to be in? Here's the position you want to be in. Put God in his rightful place. Don't go in that water before the Lord. You carry the Lord and do as he says. And when you put your foot in the water, here's how I see it. Since I've got the mic, I'll see it my way. As soon as they put their foot in the water's dried up. I mean, I don't think they went, whoosh, whoa, whoa. Hold on, brothers. No, I think as soon as their foot touched the water, it was dried up. It was like a heap. And not just right there. It's not like right there. In case this is some natural phenomenon that could unfold. Watching, oh, looks like it's giving in. Look at it giving in. Run. No. It was 20 miles away. Upstream. Standing as a heap. The kids were putting a finger in. Look, look, Mom, it's Jell-O. And then downstream all the way to the Dead Sea. These people walked on dry ground. Hey, what's the conversation like now? I'll tell you what, if you can prepare your heart, step one, then you can celebrate and praise after he does his miracle. But don't get it out of commission. Listen, don't get it out of whack. Prioritize the presence of the Lord. Prioritize getting your spirit right, your heart wired. It matters what your hands are doing. Don't go into your future with an ugly heart. Don't go into your future. Don't even try to cross with a bitter spirit. It won't work. Don't go in with a negative attitude. Get your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Put yourself in the right position. Do as he said. Watch it when they get to the middle. Not only did when they step in. I mean, it happens when you step in by faith. When they stepped in, God stepped up. He drew all the waters back, and they walked to the middle, and they stood. To me, that takes faith. Because I don't know how long these waters are going to hold up. It took a little while. It's a mile wide. There's almost 2 million people crossing over. I mean, no, that takes a little bit. I said there's a process that has to come about. You don't blink your eye and there they go. And I think sometimes when we read scripture, we act as though it just all blip, bloop, bloop. Oh, five verses and that's it. How easy? That was easy. Office Depot Christians. That was easy. I mean, no, it's not easy. It's a process. But if you'll put your faith in God and you'll step out in faith, how many know he'll step up? For every miracle, there's a condition. You can go out through the whole Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere. Everywhere. Feeding of the 5,000. Nothing happened. No miracle happened until he said, you give them something to eat. And when they distributed, what happened? Marriage at Cana, the first miracle Jesus ever did. Nothing, no miracle until they obeyed what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, tell them to fill the water pots. You can hear them now. Water pots? We need wine. We don't need water. Assembly of God people, I know it was. We don't need water. What's he? Jesus don't even know. How are you going to get wine out of water? How do you get water out of rocks? It's supernatural, my friend. Does anybody here still believe in the miraculous? Anybody here believe that our God is powerful enough that when you step out in faith, he can make it happen? And they stood there as great leaders. They stood there in the middle of the Jordan. 12 spies, not 12 spies, but 12 leaders, one from each tribe, helped the people of God along. I mean, that's a beautiful picture of the church. The leaders helped the people across, helped the weak, helped the babies. Help the mamas, help the widows, help the orphans, help them! Get them across! And I'm sure they're not just dancing and tiptoeing. They're like, hey, whoa, hey! I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be lollygagging. Not that I don't have faith, it's just that I'm ready to get to the other side. I'm just ready to get to the other side, Max. No, he said, go. You don't have to tell me twice. Can you imagine some of the people of God? I think I'm going to stop at Starbucks right here on the coast. Give me a little latte and a little biscuit for the journey. How many know the day we're going into? The crossing we're about to cross. You're not going to have time for donuts and coffee. Place we're going, you better prepare your heart. Because just beside the Jordan is going to be Jericho. And Jericho's a whole nother story, and I have to teach it tomorrow. But basically, not tomorrow, unless you come back tomorrow. I won't be here. I have meetings all day. But after my meetings, I'll come and I'll preach it to you. You come back Sunday, I'll preach it to you again. Here's the deal, just basically. We're not ignorant of the problem. People of faith don't breeze through life without trouble. There's always something to contend with. Somebody to oppose you, namely Satan. And I think we're overcomers. Overcomers are people who realize that each new day presents a new set of problems or barriers to deal with. But we don't ignore it. We plow through it. You got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. I mean, no, he'll do the same for you. Have faith in God over your circumstances. Because it's not about your circumstance without. It's about your commitment within. That's why you got to prepare your heart for what's about to happen. I want them to come back to the platform because I think some big things are about to happen. Some of you are in transition right now. God is speaking to some of you right now. And maybe it's trouble that you're facing. You don't know what to do. How many know it matters whether you have faith in God? Whose report are you going to believe? As God has his plans, guess who has their plans? Satan has plans and schemes to keep you from the purpose and plans of God. Are you hearing me? He's always wanting to detour you, slow you down, stop you, make you quit. And your obstacle to cross over is the thing that is trying to discourage you and detour you from obeying God's command this morning. And the enemy was fearing God. And now it's time for the people of God to fear God, not the river. Fear God, not the river. Are you hearing me? The river is not the thing you should worry about. All of life is lived by faith, so move on. They were in slavery 400 years, but God released them. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Joseph was sold into slavery, but God delivered him. Can you say praise the Lord for that? David was overwhelmed by guilt of sin, but God forgave him. Could you say praise the Lord to that? Psalm 91, 51. Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days, but God retrieved him. I don't know what you think. It's kind of, I would marvel at it. I'd love to have seen Jonah when he came out on the shore and saliva, maybe vomit, whale juice, algae. Jonah, go away, Jonah. You smell like a belly of a whale. Just, I don't want to see you anymore, Jonah. In closing, let me just say, got a lot more here, but I got to quit. A young man was in a wheelchair, crippled by an accident. He asked his friend a real valid question. Do I have a future? His friend said, as a pole vaulter? Probably not. But as a man of God? Absolutely. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair today. I don't care what obstacle you're facing. I don't care if it's relational, physical, financial, mental, emotional. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, no, if you'll trust God, he'll bring you through it. But you got to take a step of faith. You got to get your foot wet. No crossing over without wet feet. At least you get your toes in there. That would have been a good message title. Get your toes in there. With all things that God is doing, anything's possible. Say, I can't have faith. Listen to me. You open up a can of canned goods at your house. You open it with a can opener. You put it in a pot and you ate it. You don't know where that can. If you opened up a pack of hot dogs and you ate it, have you ever seen the vat that they make the hot dogs in? It takes faith to eat a hot dog. It takes faith. I can't even talk to you about it. It's like Jonah in the whale. You get on an airplane 38,000 feet in the air because you have faith that the pilot knows what he's doing. Really? How many know you ought to have your faith in God? Not the airplane, not the pilot, not the FDA, or the CIA, or any other. You go to the doctor whose name you can't pronounce. You get a prescription you can't read. Take it to a pharmacist you don't know. Give you a medicine you never heard of. And you take it. All of that's done in faith. My wife helps me. She reads it to me. Honey, don't take that. It's probably better for you to keep the ailment you have than to take this. It's a trade-off. Your liver can bust wide open, or you can heal your earache. I'm going with the earache. How many are ready to cross over to victory?